Let's begin with a word of prayer, and then I'll introduce what we're going to do tonight. Some 3,000 years ago, Isaiah wrote this great chapter in the Bible. It is deleted from some of the Jewish books. It's so vital. It's so controversial. We read it, Heavenly Father, as Gentile Christians and have no trouble with it. But I pray that you give us a heart, the understanding of the Jew who reads this chapter, understanding of a Jew who's searching. Father, pray that these things will be accomplished tonight in Christ's name. Amen. Now, different things in our study of Isaiah 53. Bill Katz, who we saw Sunday morning do the Seder, gave out Mitch Glaser's Isaiah 53 explained. And I really encourage you, if you want one, I'll get it for you on his internet. But it's just an excellent book, and it shows it's written by a Jew from a Jewish prospect. Many Jews will not read Isaiah 53. And he said, and just picking out a few things, when I came to believe that Yeshua, Jesus, was the Messiah many years ago, I certainly had no intention of abandoning my Judaism. I was looking for an authentic spirituality, and I imagine you might be interested in the same thing, speaking to Jews. I hope you might be willing to put aside, at least for a moment, the common belief that you cannot be Jewish and believe in Jesus. And so he goes through it. He just develops very well the whole idea of this chapter from the standpoint of the Jews. And if you are Jewish, whether or not you are observant, you probably have a sense of identification with the history of our people. And then he goes through and explains that. And let's see. I don't have time to read through it, but I do encourage you to get this book. And here's the chapter one, I'm Jewish, now what? And so he goes through from that perspective. Where do we turn for answers? And Mark Twain, an agnostic and skeptic, knew that the continued existence of the Jewish people was unusual and remarkable, but it didn't convince him to investigate it from the standpoint of the Bible. But here's what Mark Twain wrote. The Egyptian, the Babylonian, and the Persian rose, filled the planet with sound and splendor, then faded to dream stuff and passed away. The Greek and the Roman followed and made a vast noise, and they're gone. Other peoples have sprung up and held their torch high for a time, but it burned out. And they sit in the twilight now, or have vanished completely. The Jew saw them all, beat them all, and is now what he always was, exhibiting no decadence, no infirmities of age, no weakening of his parts, no slowing of his energies, no dulling of his alert and aggressive mind. All things are mortal but the Jew. All other forces pass, but he remains. What is the secret of his immortality? And of course, you and I know the secret of his immortality is that they're God's chosen people. And when Christ returns again at the second advent and takes out all unbelieving Jews, unbelieving Gentiles, and ushers in the millennial kingdom. And I just recommend Isaiah 53 explained. Now, I made a comment about that last week, and Wes Tuttle sent me the following, and I hope you're able to follow it. Don't worry about not understanding. It's in Hebrew. But if you're a quick reader, and that's what I hate about these kind of things, I go, slow down, I want to read that. But you have to read it fast, and you'll get a gist of what is going on in this short clip. Okay?
פרק אחד בתוך הספר הזה שהיו מקריאים אותו בפרק הנסת כחלק מההסתרה, אבל אז הרבנים החליטו להוציא את זה מקריאת ההסתרה.
האם זה נחשב הפרק האסור? האם שמעת על זה הפעם? מה שמעת?
האם את רוצה לראות מה נסתר בפרק הזה?
יש לכם זה?
יש לי פה בטרף עכשיו את כמה שוטר הזה, האמת
בעצם זה גם הרבה הולך לעשות את התוכנית הזאת, כי רוב האנשים לא קראו את הפרק הזה בכלל, כי לא קראו את זה עוד בבתי הכנסת.
הפרק הוא ישעיה עמוד ג', דבר מאוד חשובה על מי המשך יהיה.
ולמשך 1,700 שנים, מאז שהוא כתב את זה, כמעט כל הרבנים וחז"ל האמינו שזה פרק שמדבר על המשיח. בעצם גם בתלמוד, בסנהדרין צדיק ח', גם ילקוט שמעוני, הזוהר, הרמב״ם, האמינו שהפרק הזה מדבר על המשיח. אז עכשיו אנחנו מגיעים לקטע הכי כיפי, שאנחנו נקרא כמה קטעים מאותו פרק ונראה על מה זה מדבר.
זה וחדל אישים, איש מחובות, וידוע חולי, וכמסתר פנים ממנו נבזה ולא חשבנו הוא.
הוא היה בזוי ודחוי על ידי בני אדם, איש שידע כאבים ומחלות. הוא היה כמו אדם שמסתירים ממנו את הפנים, בזוי וחסר ערך בעיניים.
שזה מדבר העניין הזה על המשיח.
אדם שמה שכתוב בזוי ודחוי על ידי החברה.
העם שלנו היה משוכנע שהוא שלילי.
לא יודע למה, לא קיבלו אותו, דחו אותו.
לא חשבנו שהוא היה המשיח.
חולוינו הוא נשא ומחובנו סבלה,
ואנחנו חשבנו הוא נגוע, הוא כאלוהים מעונה.
אכן, הוא נשא את המחלות שלנו, סבל את הכאבים שלנו, ואנחנו התייחסנו אליו כמו אל חולה במחלה קשה שאלוהים גרם לו להיות מושפל ומעונה.
הוא לקח את כל הכאב ואת כל הסבל ואת כל המחלות עליו, ובכל זאת אנו דחו אותו.
הוא עשה לנו טוב ובעצם נתנו לו רע בחזרה.
הוא סובל בגללנו, בגלל כל בעצם העבירות שאנחנו עושים, אז הוא סובל את הכאב הזה.
הוא נתן לנו מעצמו, הוא סבל בשבילנו, הוא לקח את המחלות שלנו, את כל החטאים שלנו.
מעוצר וממשפט לוקח את דורו, מי ישוחח, כי נגזר מארץ חיים, מפשע עמי, נגע למו. ויתן את רשעים כברו ואת עשיר במותיו, על לא חמס עשה ולא מרמה בפיו.
בפסוק 12 כתוב, תחת אשר הערה למוות נפשו. מה התוצאה של הסבל שלו בסופו של דבר?
הוא מת.
הוא מת. הוא ימות. עם עשירים. איזה כיף. אני גם רוצה.
אז קיצר ישימו אותו על דברים שהוא לא עשה, וקיבל על זה. הוא מת, אבל לא מוות עם כבוד.
קודם כל, האם זה משהו ששמעת על המשיח, שכל הדברים האלה אמורים לקרות לו?
לא.
זה לא.
יש גם את הציור הזה, לא רק בפסוקים אלה, אבל גם בזכריה, בדניאל, במקומות אחרים. וגם הרבנים העתיקים הבינו שהמשיח אמור לסבול.
והוא מחולל מפשענו, מדוכא מהבנותינו, מוסר שלומנו עליו, ובחבורתו נרפא לנו. כולנו כצון טעינו, איש לדרכו פנינו, והשם יפגיע בו את אבון כולנו.
אבל הוא נפטר בגלל הפשעים שלנו, בגלל החטאים שלנו, הושפע, נענש כדי שלנו יהיה שלום, ובזכות הפצע שלו נרפאנו. כולנו עבדנו כמו צאן, כל אחד מאיתנו פנה לדרכו, אבל אדוני הטיל את האחריות על החטאים של כולנו.
הבנתי, על פי הפסוקים, כאילו הוא יספוג את החולי והרוע שלנו, וזה ירפא אותנו, והוא בעצם יהיה בן אדם שנענש, שהוא ייקח על עצמו את כל ה... אוקיי.
ייקח את כל העוונות שלנו, ואת כל המכאובים, ואת כל מה שעבד.
הוא לקח על עצמו את הכל.
שכל החטאים וכל הדברים הרעים וכל העונש הכבד, אלוהים יכניס את זה באדם אחד.
אז על כל אחד מאיתנו לשאול, האם יש בי חטא? האם אי פעם גנבת משהו? אפילו משהו קטן, או משהו להוריד משהו מהאינטרנט שלא שייך לך?
מי לא?
למשל, האם אי פעם שיקרת?
כן.
בוודאי, כל אחד משקר.
גם אני לא זכאי בזה. האם אי פעם חמדת?
כן.
ברור, אני חוטא גדול.
וגם לפי התנ"ך, כל המחשבות וגישות הרעות שלנו, כמו אנוכיות או הגאווה או כל הדברים כאלה, הם גם חשבים לחטא. אז אם למשל אנחנו היינו מקרינים כל המחשבות שלך על מסך, וכולם שמכיר אותך היו רואים אותן, היית רואה רק מחשבות טובות שם או גם כמה לא טובות?
גם וגם, גם וגם.
קודם כל, ברור שתראה גם מחשבות לא טובות, אז כל האנשים, גם הצדיק שבצדיקים, יהיה להם מחשבות רעות בראש.
אבל היו לפעמים מחשבות שהייתי אומרת, אם היא הייתה נעלמת, זה היה טוב.
אלוהים הוא קדוש וטהור לגמרי, והוא לא יכול להיות בנוכחות של חטא. אז זה בעצם החטא שלנו מפריד אותנו ממנו, ומגיע לנו בסופו של דבר גם עונש. כתוב בחזקאל 18 פסוק 4 שהעונש שמגיע לנו זה מוות. בסופו של דבר הפרדה מאלוהים לנצח. כי אז בסוף אתה חושב שאתה צריך סליחה וכפרה על החטאים שלך או לא?
כן, 100%.
גם אני, גם כולם בעצם, אין מישהו שלא. אבל יש גם חדשות טובות, כי אלוהים הוא לא רק שופט, הוא גם אבא שאוהב אותנו. ולכן הוא נתן בתורה את המערכת הקורבנות. הקורבן היה לוקח על עצמו את החטאים של אותו בן אדם. כתוב שהקורבנות יפסקו, ושבמקום הקורבנות שהיו, אלוהים ישלח בן אדם שיקרא המשיח.
שיקח על עצמו את כל החטאים.
וזה מה שקראנו עכשיו. אלוהים נתן לנו בתנך תיאור מאוד ספציפית של מי המשיח יהיה, כדי שנזהה אותו ולא נפספס אותו. וכמובן זה מאוד קריטי שנדע מי הוא הבן אדם הזה, כי בלעדיו אין לנו את הכפרה והסליחה כדי שהוא ייקח את החטאים שלנו. כתוב בדניאל פרסט שהוא חייב לבוא לפני חורבן בית המקדש השני. אז בעצם זה היה ב-70 לספירה. אז המשיח היה חייב לבוא לפני זה, לפי התנך. כתוב גם במיכה ה' שהמשיח הזה ייוולד בבית לחם. וגם כתוב בישעיהו, מה שקראנו עכשיו, ישעיהו נ"ג, שהעם שלנו נדחה אותו בהתחלה, ושהוא יסבול וימות. וכתוב בפסוקים אחרי זה, אחרי שהוא ימות הוא יקום לתחייה, ואז כתוב כשגויים רבים יקבלו אותו והם יכירו את אלוהי ישראל בגללו. אז עכשיו, מהתיאורים הללו, מהתנך, יש מישהו בהיסטוריה שהגשים את הדברים האלה?
אני לא יודעת.
לא, אני לא יודע. לך ידוע?
יש מישהו שהגשים את זה?
לא. לא שאני חושב, יכול להיות שיש, תגיד לי עכשיו, אני לא כן, אבל עכשיו לא עולה לי לראש.
ישו.
שמע, שוב אני חייב להזכיר שאני לא מאמין בזה בכלל, אבל לפי הסיפורים וכל מה ששמעתי, כן, זה מתאים לישו. עשו ממנו איש קטן אל איש גדול, שהוא בעצם כן עשה מעשים טובים, והוציאו אותו בדיוק ההפך.
תראה, אני מאמין שישוע, שבא לפני חורבן בית המקדש, שהוא הגשים את אלה בדיוק, הוא בא לפני 70 לספירה, הוא נולד בבית לחם, שהעם שלנו דחה אותו, הוא סבל ומת, והוא קם לתחייה. היו 500 אנשים יהודים שראו אותו חי אחרי שהוא מת, והם כתבו עליו, וגם כמובן הגויים קיבלו אותו בכאילו מיליארדים, והמשיח אמר, אני אקח את זה על עצמי, אני, כל הסבל והעונש שהיה מגיע לכם, אני אקח את זה על עצמי. אבל כדי לקבל את זה, אנחנו חייבים לעשות מה שהיו עושים אז. מתוודים על החטאים, מצטערים עליהם, להתחייב לא לעשות אותם עוד, וגם להאמין ולהעביר את החטאים שלנו עליו. רק אם אנחנו נאמין באותו משיח ונקבל אותו, אז הוא יקבל את כל החטא שלנו על עצמו.
לא נראה לי ששמעתי את הדברים האלה בגלל הנושא מגיע לישו, כבר יש כזה מחסום שלא רוצים אפילו לחשוב על זה, לא רוצים לפתוח את הראש, להיות באמת, להביא לזה מחשבה קצת. אז לא יודע, מסתכלים עליו כאילו, כן, כמו שכתוב בפסוק הזה, שדחו אותו.
I know it's a little cumbersome, but I hope that you gathered that some Jews acknowledge that Jesus, Yeshua, Jesus, is the Messiah, of Isaiah 53. Others know, don't even want to deal with it. And so that's the way that is.
What I saw is that they realized he did all of this,
yep.
But they wouldn't accept him.
They won't accept it.
They won't receive him because, number one, of course, it's their culture.
Thank you.
But number two, they're just Jewish lady that I spoke to, he has to be, but I cannot accept it.
Cannot accept it.
That's just what I've been saying.
Yeah.
They grow up with their religion and...
It's personal.
Okay, what Jim is passing out, I certainly couldn't do in a large church, mainly because probably most people wouldn't be interested in it. And but I hope that you'll appreciate what you're getting ready to see, and we'll get to work. Isaiah 53 in your English Bibles, and because that certainly is where we're taking our study from in our class reading. I do my work in the Hebrew, but we do it here. Now, okay, Isaiah 53, and we've moved to verse 3, and I will admit we do have to move a little faster. And doing stuff like tonight doesn't seem to convey that I'm interested in that, but I am. But let's look at Isaiah 53:3. He was despised and forsaken of men. And I pointed out to you that the Hebrew has men plural, man singular, contrasting them. In the Hebrew, it's so blatant. And you can see it in the part that I've highlighted. And where you have... Eshaim, and that's men, and Ish is man, and he is in contrast with the whole human race. And in verse 4, what I'm going to show you in verse 4 down below is another contrast that is very strong, us and him, and how he is contrasted with us. And you can see it in the English transliteration, not so much in the Hebrew wording. So I didn't highlight the Hebrew wording, but he and contrasted with us. So let's take a look at Isaiah 53:3. He was despised and forsaken of men, man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Now you got to understand when a Jew reads this, and a lot of unbelieving Gentiles who are at higher criticism, and they know more in dealing with the Bible. This doesn't refer to Jesus. They do not believe in messianic passages, and I do. And I think that some are just so blatantly clear, as is Isaiah 53. So, but they will go through and tell you it refers to Israel, it refers to other things, but it doesn't refer to Yeshua or Jesus. All right. Now, the next phrase describes how Israel, instead of embracing him for removal of the sickness of sin, they reject him. And like one from whom men hid their face. The Hebrew is a difficult to interpret here. It literally, and as of hiding of faces from him, is actually the way the Hebrew reads. Now, the point being expressed is from the reaction of those who looked upon him, the reaction in their own hearts as they looked upon him as he bore the judgment of the sins of the world, as he was covered in sorrows, stricken with the sickness of sin. And we have to understand, sickness of sin. We found him so repulsive to look upon that we hid or covered our faces in order that we might not even look at one in such suffering. And this gives much insight, I think, into the hearts of Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus, the two men who took his body down cleaned it up and prepared it for burial and then took it into the burial place. This is what they were looking at. They were looking at this face tormented by their being identified with sin. So, and like one from whom we hid their men hid their face, he was despised. Now, again, in the Hebrew, this is a niphal, N-I-P-H-A-L, participle. And the niphal participle denotes continual passive action. What does that mean? He continually received being despised. He continually received over and over and over being despised, and he kept on being despised. The Hebrew word basa means to hold in contempt, to despise, to hold something or someone in disdain in your soul, in your thinking, to disrespect someone. Have you ever felt disrespect from someone important to you, someone that you love, and they don't respect you? That hurts. That hurts, and that's what Christ had to bear. Yes, he bore the sins of the world, but he had to bear the rejection of his own people, and not just the rejection, being despised by them, being held in contempt by them. Be sure you understand that multitudes around the world today, hold your Savior in contempt and disdain for him. They despise him, and therefore they despise everyone who believes in him. Just this last weekend, a great number of Christians were killed in Pakistan. This has happened in Africa. It's happened throughout the Middle East, and it's going to continue to happen. And I believe that it's going to happen. I don't think it may reach if Christ does not return to some horrible extent, but I think it's going to be very difficult for a person to be known as a Christian in our own society here in America. I think it's difficult for our children right now in school. They are not allowed to say the name God or Jesus, and they're going to be held more in contempt. And we're going to get a feel of what it's like to how the Jews have felt for 2,000 years. But they do. And this hatred, this disdain, is increasing around the world exponentially. It is just increasing all over the world. And the world is becoming so immoral as it moves away from the Bible, as it moves away from God, as it moves away from Jesus Christ, as it moves away from the Word of God, it has nowhere to go but the darkness of immorality. They're now having records and keeping tabs on countries that have children born to unwed mothers. Iceland right now has 63% of all babies born are born to women who are not married. America has 40%. And I don't think it'll be too long before we're over 50% in this country. We have no grounds of morality. We do not consider moral issues. An immoral environment sets up an environment for the distribution of the gospel, for the communication of the gospel. An immoral society does not want to hear. It's like in John, turning on the light. Turn off that light. You turn on the light, you reveal our sin. You reveal that we're not believing in this Jesus. Turn off the light. Shut up. You are the enemy. You don't hold to the standards we hold. You hold the biblical standards. We think homosexuality is okay. We think adultery is okay. We think unmarried motherhood is okay. We think all these teenage sex activity, we think all these things are okay. And in fact, we think drugs are okay. And you Christians come along and you don't. We got to get rid of you Christians. You're the enemy. And I hope you understand why we're the enemy. You might say, why are we the enemy? Because you hold moral standards. That makes you an enemy in our society. And you also, because you hold that there is a heaven, there is a hell, and there's only one way to heaven, and that's through the person of Jesus Christ. The world hates that. The world cannot stand that. And you and I are the enemy in our society. So these things that are said about Christ can also be understood to be said about believers in Jesus Christ, disdain and hated. And so this is where we are. Now, I want to show you a beautiful verse in this light. He was despised. Now, I want you to turn to Psalm 51. You will look at Psalm 51. Now, first of all, the context for this great psalm. I hope by now most of you know the context of Psalm 51. We have been this way before. David, coming to God, after sinning with Bathsheba, and sending Bathsheba's husband into battle on the front line to die. And Nathan the prophet came to him and talked to him, gave him a little parable. He said, David, somebody goes in and steals a man's only little sheep and takes it away. And that man, that's the only one that he had. And David, very self-righteous about it. That belt for his head, get rid of him and put him in chains and all this stuff. And Nathan said, that's you. You've done that in taking Bathsheba. And boy, it hit him like a ton of bricks. So he goes through a list of things God is not looking for when he wants to come to God out of sin. What you do with sin is very important. We all sin. What you do after you've sinned is extremely important. So let's take a look now at verse 17. Verse 17 of Psalm 51. The sacrifices of God. Now that means the sacrifices that are acceptable by God when you've sinned. Now, here's the sacrifices. A broken spirit. What is a broken spirit? Arrogance is broken. A broken and contrite heart. Do you know what a contrite heart is? It's a heart that is crushed, broken in pieces, most of the time due to sin. Now, I'm sorry, with a small class, I can get away with this. I want you to hold your place here, but look at Psalm 38. Psalm 38, dealing with this word crushed. Psalm 38. Let's read from verse 1. O Lord, rebuke me not in thy wrath. He has sinned. He knows he's going to be rebuked, but not in thy wrath. And chasten me not in thy burning anger. For thine arrows have sunk deep into me, and thy hand has pressed down on me. There is no soundness in my flesh because of thine indignation. When you reach this point because of sin, it affects your body. We know it affects your life. It affects your soul. It affects your spirit. It affects your life, your body, your physical being. And that's what he's expressing here. There is no soundness, verse 3, in my flesh because of thine indignation. There is no health in my bones because of my sin. This is the effect of sin in our lives. Verse 4. For my iniquities are gone over my head as a heavy burden. They weigh too much for me. My wounds grow foul and fester because of my folly, my sin. I am bent over and greatly bowed down. I go mourning all day long. Now, this is a person who God's dealing with. Not everyone's going to respond this way. The arrogant will not. They will not see the folly of their sin. But David does. This is why David is a man after God's own heart. I want you to know as we read through this how horrible these things are. This is a man after God's own heart. Verse 7. For my loins are filled with burning, and there is no soundness in my flesh. Soundness means strength and vitality, energy. It's all numb. Verse 8. I am benumbed and badly crushed. I am benumbed and badly crushed. Okay? I groan because of the agitation of my heart. I got something I want to point out here. Let me see. Okay, let's go ahead and read. Verse 9. Lord, you still communicating with the Lord. See, when you sin, you get options. You can run from the Lord, or you can run to the Lord. The one thing you do not want to do is listen to people. People will tell you you're not worthy. People will tell you you're horrible. Don't listen to people. You stay with the Lord when you have sinned. All right? Verse 9, Lord, all my desire is before thee, and my sighing is not hidden from you. My heart throbs. Now he goes to the inside, his heart. My strength fails me, and the light of my eyes, even that has gone from me. My loved ones and my friends stand aloof from my plague, and my kinsmen stand afar off. He is in trouble. Even his friends have betrayed him, left him. Not betrayed him, but they've left him. Don't have anything to do with him. He's such a sinner. Verse 12. Those who seek my life lay snares for me. And those who seek to injure me have threatened destruction. And they devise treachery all day long. But I, like a deaf man, do not hear. I am like a dumb man who does not open his mouth. He remains silent. Remember that Sunday morning in our study. Yes, I am like a man who does not hear, and in whose mouth are no arguments. I have no justification for what I've done. I'm not going to try to justify my sins before you. I have no arguments. If we had the full time, we could go to Job. And see Job saying the same thing at various points with God. Verse 15, for I hope in thee. Here's his hope. He's in sin. His confidence is in thee, O Lord. Thou wilt answer, O Lord my God. For I have said, may they not rejoice over me. That's over his failure, his demise. Who, when my foot slips, would magnify themselves against me. Foot slipping is a metaphor for sinning. Verse 17, for I am ready to fall, and my sorrow is continually before me. I have confessed my iniquity, have acknowledged my iniquity. I am full of anxiety because of my sin. But my enemies are vigorous and strong, and many are those who hate me wrongfully, and those who repay evil for good. They oppose me because I follow what is good. That's after he sins. He's now going to the Lord. Do not forsake me, O Lord. O my God, do not be far from me. Make haste to me, O Lord, of my deliverance, my salvation. So this is a picture of David in this horrible state of sin. Now, I want you to go back verse 8. Verse 8. I am benumbed and badly crushed. I am benumbed and badly crushed. What a perfect description of a broken heart. Benumbed. That means feebleness of soul. Numbness, physically, spiritually, both for David here. Paralyzed in usage. In other words, he's not being used by God. Here's not, he's not used of God, ignored by God. Now, the leaders of our nation, the Justice Department of this nation, the school systems of this nation, and multitude of churches have ignored God. They ignore His Word. Multitude of churches ignore His Word. How long do you think we're going to get away with ignoring God? I got a really nice email, some organization. We need to work. We need to get behind this person that they were advocating so that God, and it was very clear, so that God will bless this nation, that God will restore this nation and all that. I just wrote back, why should He? Why should God bless this nation? Why should God restore this nation? Look at us. Look at our churches. Look at our people. Look at our leaders. Now, I'm talking about even leaders in churches. Don't study the Word of God and don't teach the Word of God. Why should God care? People, America doesn't have any kind of longevity clause in the Bible. The Jews do, but not us. And there's nothing that says America's going to be around. And we have abandoned God. Why shouldn't He abandon us? Do we think we're going to get away with all these things? I have benumbed. I am benumbed and badly crushed. Here's our word. Here's our word by Isaiah 51, Psalm 51. Crushed. Now, you see that word badly? Badly crushed. You know what this tells us? It tells us who's doing the crushing. The word badly means powerfully. This tells us this is from God. I am mightily, powerfully crushed from God, denoting the power of God to crush our souls when He's displeased with us due to our sins. Like Peter, when he denied that he even knew Jesus Christ, his soul was badly crushed. He walked out of there crying. Crushed. But the next thing we read about him, he's with John. Mary comes to him and says, they've taken our Lord. And he runs to the grave. So he's restored. And that's what we want to remember. There's always the point of restoration with God. Maybe not with man, but with God. But I like it with man. Now, what we don't know in the Peter's episode, did they know he denied him? I don't know. But all I can tell you is that the next time we see him, he's with the disciples, and they're welcoming him, their arms around him. So I don't know how much they knew or didn't know. But God knew, and God restored him. And so it is with David in this verse. I am benumbed and powerfully crushed. People, I hope you never get that way. I hope you never get to where you're benumbed in your life. I hope you never get to the way where you're powerfully crushed in your soul. Every area of your soul is crushed. But if you are, just remember, God is your deliverer. He will not forsake you. He will not abandon you if you come back to Him and trust Him. Now, he ends it with, I groan because of the agitation of my heart. People, if you understand God, you understand sin, sin agitates your soul. It hurts your soul. Your relationship with God. Not so much your relationship with people, relationship with God. When you sinned. So, agitation of my heart. Now let's go back to Psalm 51. Psalm 51. Verse 17. The sacrifices of God, that is, the sacrifices that God will accept, are a broken spirit. That's arrogance is broken. You're rebellion against God. Every time we sin, we're rebelling against God. And it's arrogance. Little sin, big sin, doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. all sin breaks fellowship with God. And if you have a rapport with God, that hurts. That crushes your heart. It's like a man and woman who truly love each other. And when that is broken, and that relationship is broken, it hurts. It hurts. And that's what David is experiencing with God. Now, what are the sacrifices acceptable to God? A broken spirit. Arrogance is broken. A broken and contrite heart. Crushed heart. Crushed heart. Crushed by God because of your sin. This is what sin does to you. It crushes you. Not everyone will give in to this condition of the heart. We saw this in 2 Thessalonians that not everyone can be brought to shame. They continue in their sins against God. And all that you can do is stand back and pray for them. But I'm dealing with those who understand that when you sin against God, you have a crushed heart. Now note the last phrase in Isaiah 51, verse 17. The sacrifices that God accepts are a broken spirit, a broken and crushed heart. Now watch. Oh God, you will not despise. Think with me. Think with me. Isaiah 53. Who has been crushed and is despised? Our Savior. Our Messiah. Look what it says. God will not despise. When Jesus Christ is hanging on the cross, identified with all the sins of the world, sins that offend you, sins that don't offend you, all the sins of the world, God does not despise. Man despises. That's why you've got to be careful with people. They will despise you, but not God. Not if you have that broken and crushed heart. Oh God, you will not despise. As Jesus Christ bore the judgment of the sins of the world, man despised him, but not God. Isaiah 53, we despised him, but not God. God did not despise him. Look at Isaiah 53, getting back to it now. Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53, and look at verse 10. Beautiful verse. But the Lord, this is God the Father. God the Father is your Lord. The Holy Spirit is your Lord. Jesus Christ is your Lord. God the Father is your Lord. Your Lord, the Holy Spirit, takes you to your Lord Jesus Christ, who takes you to your Lord, God the Father. But the Lord, God the Father, was pleased to crush him, putting him to grief. Why? Because he was identified with our sins. Your sins, my sins. If you were the only person in history, he'd have to die on a cross. The Lord was pleased, God the Father, pleased to crush him, putting him to grief. If he would render himself as a guilt offering, he will see his offspring. Uh-oh. Now we come to the recovery. He, Jesus Christ, will see his offspring. Which, what does that mean? Resurrection. He will prolong his days. Resurrection. Eternal life. And the good pleasure of the Lord, as of God the Father, will prosper in his hand. Will prosper in his hand. Now let's go back to Isaiah 53:3. He was despised and forsaken of men, a man of sorrows, pains, acquainted with the sicknesses of sin, and as one from whom men hid our face. He was despised, and still is around the world, and we, primarily the Jewish race, did not esteem him. Okay? What does that mean? The Hebrew word to esteem means to think, means to regard, It means to consider. Who is doing the regarding? What do they regard? And regard as what? We, refers to the Jewish people, are doing the esteeming here. Not all, of course, but most. There were those who believed in Jesus when he was here on earth. Nicodemus. Joseph of Arimathea. Mary and Martha. Lazarus. Many believed in him, but most did not believe in him at that time. And so it refers to the Jewish people. The object of their thinking, their considering, is the servant of God suffering on the cross. Now, the question, we did not esteem him. That is, we did not even consider that he was suffering for our sins. We saw him up there. He's got something for us. He deserves this. He deserves his own suffering. Never entered our minds, our arrogant Jewish minds, that he was bearing our sins on the cross. So, and the sins of the whole world, all Gentiles. It never entered their mind that this Jesus from Galilee, born of a virgin, born in Bethlehem, as prophesied, a descendant of David, as prophesied, anointed as the servant of the Lord. And this brings us to some summary points. So this is where we'll pick it up next Wednesday evening, right at this point. So I hate to do that, but we run out of time. And unfortunately, we live by the clock. And because I'm good for another hour or two. And but we'll resume at this point. So let's close in a word of prayer. Well, Heavenly Father, we learned about Jesus Christ suffering on the cross. We learned what men thought of him, but we learned what you thought of him. You accepted his suffering in our place. And now our sins are no longer an issue to us. He bore that. And the great issue now is that we just believe in him. And then after we believe in him, make him our life. Make him the purpose of our living. Father, I pray your Spirit will take the things we've seen tonight, use them for your glory and that of your Son. In his precious name we pray. Amen.